This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Secretary of State Colin Powell today is playing down rampant speculation about a possible change in U.S. policy toward Iran. Concerns have reportedly been growing within the Bush administration itself about Iran's nuclear weapons programs and its suspected harboring of terrorists. Outside the State Department earlier, though, Powell told reporters U.S. policy toward Iran has not changed. The secretary did say the U.S. doesn't approve of Iran's, quote, support of terrorist activities, and the administration, he said, has made it clear it disapproves of Iran's efforts to develop any nuclear capability. Despite a lack of formal diplomatic ties with Iran, Powell said the U.S. does have contacts, in his words, with Iran, and those contacts will continue. He also reiterated a commitment to pursue a diplomatic solution to the nuclear impasse with North Korea. One American soldier is dead today after an attack in Iraq. Army Public Affairs Officer Captain David Connolly earlier briefed reporters on the incident.
A hostile force of unknown size attacked U.S. coalition forces in Fallujah this morning. There was one soldier was killed and seven others were injured.
Connolly says the attackers fired on American troops with rocket-propelled grenades and small arms in Fallujah, which is just west of the Iraqi capital of Baghdad. He says the American troops then returned fire, killing two of their attackers and capturing six others. Today's attack comes after two American soldiers were killed yesterday in separate incidents. Egypt will likely host a U.S. Arab summit in the resort city of Sharm el-Sheikh next week in an effort to push forward with the U.S.-backed Roadmap for Peace, as it's being called. Egypt's official Middle East news agency says President Bush and the kings of Morocco, Bahrain, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia would all attend that meeting, along with Egypt's own President Hosni Mubarak. According to U.S. officials, meanwhile, Mr. Bush will meet with Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and new Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas, possibly in Jordan, after his trip to Europe June 4th. The president may also possibly hold separate talks with both Arab leaders at that Egyptian summit.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
Well, the Supreme Court's ruled now states can be sued by state workers seeking damages under a federal law allowing time off for the care of seriously ill family members. The 6-3 ruling by the High Court upheld the Family and Medical Leave Act that affects nearly 5 million state employees. Low mortgage rates are helping to send new home sales through the roof. The Commerce Department says new home sales were up 1.7% last month to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.028 million. That's the third fastest pace in the four decades the government has been tracking data on new home sales.
Right turn, right turn, right turn, right turn, back to the dealership. That's a typical test drive. Now, GM introduces the 24-hour test drive. Bring home a GM car or truck. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your garage. See how it fits in your life. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour. You must be 21 and be an insured licensed driver with approved credit.
Well, let me sleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
Serbian police have arrested now 23 more people in connection with the 1991 Vukovar massacre. The announcement comes after the UN War Crimes Tribunal indicted three more officers for their alleged roles in the massacre. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
Serblad forces are thought to have taken more than 200 Croat civilians and prisoners of war from a hospital in the besieged Croat town of Vukovar to Ovkara farm outside the town. The Croats were then killed and their bodies dumped in a mass grave. No more details have been given about the detainees, but the announcement coincides with indications a trial of some of the suspects involved in the massacre could be the first big war crimes trial in Serbia since the Balkan conflict. The UN War Crimes Tribunal's chief prosecutor is reported to have handed over files related to the case during a recent visit. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And Scott Peterson is due back in court in Modesto, California today. A pretrial hearing scheduled to discuss the release of search warrant information and possibly a change of venue. Lawyers for three California newspapers have been arguing for the release of that warrant information. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. A picture's worth a thousand words, so picture this. A toilet bowl. You know what car part is similar to that household favorite? Battery? Gas tank? No, those won't float. But when I come back, I'll tell you what does.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm gonna get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halvesies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
What's the automotive equivalent of your toilet bowl? Your carburetor. Both have little floats that control levels of liquid. Ever lifted the top of a toilet tank and bent the rod to stop water from flowing? Carburetors have similar float valves that adjust fuel level. In toilets, the excess water streams harmlessly to the sewer. But in carburetors, surplus fuel flows into the motor, causing engine damage, decreased gas mileage, and air pollution. All good reasons to include carburetor checks in your annual inspections. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back from your holiday weekend, speaking to you on the IE America Radio Network on terrestrial radio stations from New Mexico to Alabama, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite, covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator, and streaming audio live on the Internet with listeners all over the world from IEAmericaRadio.com and RadioPower.org. This is Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle on the Tom Hartman Program. Welcome to our program today. What do the words free press really mean in and to a democracy? What is the significance of a free press? What is a free press? What constitutes a free press? You know, there have been a number of commentators over the years who have expressed very specific and explicit opinions on this. De Tocqueville, back in 1836, Alexis de Tocqueville, in his Democracy in America, wrote at length. The last chapter of his book is titled, What Sort of Despotism Free Nations Have to Fear? And he had come over from France to look over the United States and say, you know, is this experiment really going to work? Is this thing a possibility? Or is it going to fail, this new American democracy, this new experiment? And there were a lot of people, particularly in Europe, who were very skeptical. And there were people here in the United States who were skeptical about whether the United States, this concept, this brand new radical concept, in the context of what we call civilization, of people ruling themselves, could work. Because although tribal people had been doing this for 100,000 years, and this is the way that ultimately all your ancestors and mine had lived, that most tribal groups live in systems that are largely democratic, that since the emergence of our modern civilization in Sumeria 6 or 7,000 years ago, in what was then called Sumeria, is now called Iraq, and we're losing the pieces of it. But in any case, since the emergence of that civilization with King Gilgamesh and his idea that it was appropriate for people to be controlled and led and owned, essentially, by warlords or by those who claimed that the gods told them what to do and therefore they had the right to control other people's lives. The two of the three historic forms of tyranny, kingdoms, warlords, and then the third, of course, is feudalism, rule by the rich, that historically people had, you know, everybody thought this is the way it should be. And Jefferson and Madison and Washington and all these others, they said, no, we're going to try a new experiment based on a synthesis of the way the Greeks did it and the way that some pieces from the Roman Empire and some thinking from Athenian democracy, and also looking at how the Iroquois Confederacy did it. And they came up with this idea of a participatory democracy where the government derives its power from, and its legitimacy and its survival from, we the people. And in order to sustain that, they were just absolutely clear, as Thomas Jefferson said in a letter to James Curry on January 28, 1876, our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost. And where I'd started on this thing, and talking about de Tocqueville and his what democratic societies have to fear, what sort of despotisms democratic societies have to fear, he said, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but my recollection is pretty clear here, that he said that in monarchies, a free press is not so necessary. But in a democracy, it is essential for people to remain free, for people to function, for their society to work. And this was so central in the minds of the founders that Ben Franklin passed legislation in Pennsylvania first that was later cloned in most of the states. Of course, this was pre-Civil War. Most of these things were done at a state level rather than a federal level, that subsidized the sale of newsprint so that newspapers could more easily be distributed. And in the Postal Service, they came up with a subsidy for postage so that newspapers could easily be mailed, so that people could be well-informed, because they understood that a free press is essential to democracy. Dr. Peter Phillips is the director of Project Censored, a professor of sociology at Sonoma State University. Project Censored is an internationally known media research program that annually identifies the most censored news stories in the United States. The annual research book produced by Project Censored is entitled Censored, The News That Didn't Make the News, and it's published by Seven Stories Press. You can find it in any bookstore, Amazon.com, various other online sources, 100fires.com. Welcome, Dr. Phillips, to the Tom Hartman program.
Well, thank you for having me on, Tom.
I've been familiar with your work for some years and am always impressed and depressed by the annual reports that you come out with of the top Project Censored stories. This is back in 98, GM and its black dealers and the death of immigrants along the border with Mexico, the paper companies and the Zapatistas in 97.
It's an annual effort of labor of love for 200 students and faculty at Sonoma State University that do the research every year to come out with this book.
That's remarkable. Can you go over quickly with us some of the top Project Censored stories that didn't make the news for this past year?
Well, the number one story is how the FCC is moving to continue to allow consolidation and privatize the airways.
Yes.
It's amazing the degree to which the corporate media does not cover their own turf.
Right, although it is starting to get a little bit of press now.
It's getting more because there's been a whole movement in the country trying to prevent the further breakdown of the rules and regulations that control media ownership in the country. And tens of thousands of people are actively involved today.
Yeah.
We selected this story a year ago. It's a kind of a continuing story. The passage of the Telecommunications Act in 96 allowed for the consolidation, particularly of radio. And
yes,
we saw half of the radio stations be bought up by major chains.
Mm-hmm.
And big, huge chains like Clear Channel now that has 1,200 radio stations form in the country. This is all new.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And now we're really concerned that this is going to happen with television and with newspapers, and
yeah,
it's already happening to various degrees, but some of the rule changes would allow some of the biggest TV markets, CNN and Fox, to actually merge with each other, start cooperating, and the rule changes would allow newspapers to own television stations in their own communities and raise the national market share up to, say, 50%, which is now at 35% in terms of total share. Very important issues for all of us in terms of democracy. I really like the history lesson you just gave.
Yeah, thank you. I agree with you, and we've talked about this at length on this program. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, we were doing almost daily Berlusconi alerts because Berlusconi was in the news and was trying to, you know, wiggle out of the troubles that he was in and was claiming that they should pass a law saying that a sitting president or prime minister cannot be prosecuted and things. And what most people in America don't know is the history of Silvio Berlusconi, that he owns 5 of the 6 television networks in Italy. And
exactly.
That he rose to power as a consequence of having bought all the media in that country. And, you know, I mean, talk about a really visible example of the destructiveness of this sort of thing.
Italy, and the repression of independent media.
Yes.
We were in Italy a year and a half ago and met with the independent media people in both Naples and Rome. Mm-hmm. And they were afraid that they were going to be, you know, police were going to come and attack them, and they did. They stole all their equipment and tried to shut down those independent media sites, which are, you know, internet-based, sharing news from the grassroots.
Yeah. So what was the second most censored story?
Well, the second story was actually about the new treaty organizations and the privatization of global social services. And this is mm-hmm. moving in the direction through GATS, Guaranteed Agreement on Trades and Services, with the WTO, to try to literally privatize everything in the world. I mean, this would be
right.
School districts, health care, water. This is something that few people in the U.S. realize the degree to which this is happening overseas, and it's starting to manifest itself here in the U.S. as well.
With, like, the Enron deal to privatize the Everglades, the deal that they had cut with Jeb Bush?
One of our big stories we're running this year is it'll probably end up in the 2004 book is the privatizations of national forests.
Yes.
And literally subcontracting out places like Yellowstone or Yosemite to corporations to run it like Disneyland.
Now Dr. Peter Phillips here with the book Censored, The News That Didn't Make the News, and Project Censored in Sonoma State University. Dr. Phillips, the folks on the right would say, well, you know, this media consolidation, I mean, you know, isn't that capitalism? Isn't that free enterprise? The big get bigger, they swallow their competitors, and the stuff with private companies buying up the national forests and buying up water supplies and things. I mean, isn't they have the power to buy off legislators? Isn't that an okay thing? How do you respond?
Well, it's okay if you're all right with a very small group of people making decisions that impact all of us very undemocratically.
Right.
And traditionally, you know, it was the press that would expose that. And people would get upset and say, well, wait a minute, we don't think that's a good idea.
But the press isn't exposing that anymore at all.
They're part of this scheme. They're part of this privatization effort. And, you know, this ruling that's going to happen on June 2nd, which is pending. Now, we have 3 FCC commissioners that were Republicans appointed that seem to be pro reducing these rules and consolidation. And 2, Michael Kopch, Jonathan Adelstein, that are in opposition.
Yeah, I think this is a done deal.
Well, a lot of people are saying that, but the opposition, they had over 18,000 public comments, and they're running 99-1 against further consolidation. So how Michael Powell can proceed with this, and even if on June 2nd they do, there's a number of people in Congress that really want to have this reviewed and even go further with trying to stop that.
Well, what they need to do is repeal the Telecommunications Act and replace it with something that actually promotes local ownership
and diversity.
Competition.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's the third most censored story here of this past year?
Number 3 is about Colombia and what's happening there now. And we have so little information except that the U.S. has put billions of dollars into the government repression of the what are called the leftist rebels now, quite openly. But part of that, too, is the private... We're using mercenaries, and we're using DynCorp.
Are you talking about the country of Colombia?
Military Resources, Inc., for this huge aerial spraying of Roundup over thousands and thousands of acres, which is supposedly an anti-drug thing. But it's really focused on the regions of the country that have been in resistance to the central government. And most of the cocaine is really being shipped through what are right-wing paramilitary regions, and those aren't being sprayed.
Right. So Dr. Peter Phillips with Project Censored. Censored, the news that didn't make the news. We'll be back with Dr. Phillips in just a moment. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, where we still honor we the people instead of they the transnational corporations.
What happened to those sandpaper feet? They're so soft now. Went to the podiatrist, huh?
No, I used Carousel. I got it at the store in the foot care section.
Carousel?
Yeah, K-E-R-A-S-A-L.
Carousel, used and dispensed by podiatrists for years, gently exfoliates and moisturizes dry, rough, scaly feet in just days. Preferred by 9 out of 10 over the products they usually use.
Maybe I should use Carousel, too.
You know, I was going to say something.
Hey, Carousel. It's everything your feet need.
If you're single and you've been going around in circles looking for the right person to love, then I've got a life-changing idea for you. Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Our team of PhDs has developed a proven way to match singles that consistently results in relationship success. That's why eHarmony.com is so different. It really works. We're receiving hundreds of marriage announcements, and these eHarmony marriages are significantly happier. If you're really serious about finding the person of your dreams, visit eHarmony.com. We'll take care of the incredibly complex task of compatibility so you can enjoy the fun of finding the chemistry. I want to encourage you to try eHarmony today. We'll give you an eye-opening personality profile absolutely free. This $40 value will get you started on the most important search of your life. Find real compatibility at eHarmony.com.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express Lawsuit Funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities like Ted Nugent.
Everybody's got to learn to support hunting, fishing, and trapping because that's where the dollars come from, to save habitat.
You know, every time you get done talking, I feel like I should say amen.
Because I live the truth. That's what my book, God, Guns, and Rock and Roll, it's on the New York Times bestseller list. It sounds like I'm bragging because I am.
Well, I love the book, Ted. I read it. I loved it.
Thank you. Well, it's like we're at a damn campfire, isn't it?
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to the the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the iAmerica Radio Network, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. What do the words free press really mean in and to a democracy? We're talking with Dr. Peter Phillips of the Project Censored, the most censored stories, the news that didn't make the news is the title of his book. And we have David in San Francisco, California, has a question about Project Censored. David, you're on with Tom and Dr. Phillips.
Yes, hi. I'm sure glad to be able to ask a couple of questions. I've been watching, there are a lot of different news accounts going on about the American currency and its stability, whether the euro is gaining on it and this and that. And actually, at this moment, right now, I think it's the National Association of Cities is running a piece on C-SPAN. And they're essentially describing to these poor, beleaguered mayors and whatnot that they're going to have to buy a whole lot of neat new stuff for Homeland Security. And essentially, the costs to the cities are rising rapidly. And what my question is do you have any information on alternative types of economy that are in effect, that are working successfully? Typically we hear, I've been paying attention to your censored stories for many years, and many times these are they're unnerving, they're shocking, they're scary, but I don't often hear many really positive kinds of accounts about how people are rising above the hell that's being laid out for us. And I've been constantly interested in an issue of, 1776, when everybody figured out that they were using the British pound and these fake currencies, that they just got out the printing press and created their own money, and all of a sudden the rich became poor overnight. So I'm wondering, do you have examples, censored examples of alternative currencies, local currencies, alternative ways of bypassing the will of the corrupt rich.
Right, got it. Thank you. Thank you, David, for that question from San Francisco. Dr. Phillips, thoughts on that?
David, that's a big question. Portions of it are very, very much. The alternative currency movement in the U.S. is kind of in its infant stage and evolving in some cities where there's an exchange and barter of scrip for values between businesses and people. Internationally, however, in Argentina, and this is one of our stories that's going to be in the 2004 book, where literally they had the collapse of their currency and the collapse of the whole economy, we're seeing a real expansion of communal efforts, not only communal efforts of factories, but whole regions where people are creating their own way of monetary exchange. And some of that includes script and guaranteed payments and agreements between people and groups. So that's one of our stories this year, and it's going to come out, and it certainly hasn't been covered in the corporate media. The dollar versus the euro is a big part of this, because the euro has been gaining, particularly the last 4 years. One of the undisclosed factors of invading Iraq was that Saddam Hussein had switched his UN accounts over to euros. And he was the first OPEC nation to do that. And
that was a very, very troubling trend for the oil industry. They were very worried about
that. Absolutely, a troubling trend for the dollar, which is really held up in the world because of the billions of dollars that are out there in terms of the oil industry in exchange.
Yeah. So these are two censored stories. David, thanks for the call. We appreciate your calling in. If anybody else would like to call, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. We're on with Dr. David Phillips. Dr. Phillips, what do you think is behind all of this? What is the dynamic? And we've got about a minute and a half here. What's the dynamic behind the fact that these stories are not making it into the press?
Well, mostly the corporate media is in the entertainment business. And they steer away from affecting the sources of their news. So they get a lot of their news, or their 24-hour news shows are dependent upon the Pentagon, the State Department, and they tend not to run negative stories about the Bush family or about the war or about the Pentagon.
And these become news sources, and they become news collectors rather than reporters. Dr. Phillips, if you can stick around, continue talking with you right after this break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Talk radio for the rest of us.
If you're an allergy sufferer and want non-drowsy prescription-strength medicine without a prescription, you have a new choice. Allivert. Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. so you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, anywhere. It's non-drowsy relief even Claritin can't beat. New quick-dissolving Allivert. Allergy medicine right when you need it, wherever you are. Use as directed.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. A week-old strike by West Virginia employees of the Adelphia Cable Company could spread, according to the Communications Workers of America. About 40 workers who supply cable services to residents of Morgantown, West Virginia, walked off the job May 22nd after rejecting their company's call for a freeze on wage increases. Since then, Adelphia workers in three other locations have authorized possible strikes, including 200 cable technicians in Los Angeles.
An Alaskan jury has found no evidence to justify a class action lawsuit brought on behalf of nearly 5,000 salmon fishermen against fish wholesalers and distributors who stood accused of conspiring to lower salmon prices over the last 10 years. Attorneys for the fishermen say the various processing and distribution companies shared price information, collaborated to drive down prices, and underpaid the fishermen for $1 billion of salmon. But the processors successfully argued that a global decline in salmon demand, coupled with competition from salmon farms, drove down the price. Not all fishermen lost in the case, though. A handful settled their claims before the lawsuit began and collected about $40 million between them.
The Service Employees International Union's Justice for Janitors campaign has scored a lot of victories this year, from securing health coverage for Washington, D.C.'s janitors to winning a nearly 40% wage increase for the workers who clean the office buildings of Los Angeles. But a similar campaign in Denver, Colorado, appears ready to hit a brick wall. The 2,000 janitors with SEIU Local 105 are looking to win health care in a city where 9 out of 10 janitors have no health insurance. But negotiators representing cleaning contractors say they want to end union representation for workers in many of the city's smaller office buildings. That leaves a lot of ground to cover before the union's contract expires on Saturday, though the union has ruled out a strike, at least for now.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Don't sweat the petty stuff and don't pet the sweaty stuff.
How's that for sage advice?
Well, it's better than being called stupid and immoral all morning long, isn't it? Join me, Nancy Skinner, for Radio Evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, a program where we discuss our problems and how to solve them in a positive way without having to disown your in-laws, give up your career goals, and generally alienate everybody you know.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werby, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time. That's Eastern Time. Weekdays for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werby, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Yeah, my blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. A cat with the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation, and marches alone can't bring.
And are we facing the edge of destruction? Eve of destruction. Thank you, my producer here. Now, we're talking to Dr. Peter Phillips of the Project Censored Group, and just in wrapping up this segment, Dr. Phillips, I had one question for you, but first we have Mickey in New York, who I believe has a question for you, or a comment. Mickey, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Hello, Mickey. Well, maybe we don't have Mickey in New York. Dr. Phillips, you're
really
still there.
I got upset because everything he's saying is the truth.
And I wonder exactly what we can do about it to make the people understand what's happening, because I don't know how they could get the administration out of there and put somebody else in. And I wondered if those organizations like the labor organizations and the other organizations that are getting together to help the Democratic Party would help any.
That's wonderful, Mickey. That's such a great question, because that was my question, too. I'm so pleased that you called and asked that. Dr. Phillips, where is the hope in all of this? What? Oh, he's not there. He's taken off. Well, in that case, let me say, I think, Mickey, that the hope in this is that people are starting to wake up. I see hope in a couple of different realms. One is that the Internet has become a tremendous resource for keeping people awake, even in the presence of this huge corporate media takeover.
Well, the only thing that bothers me is everybody doesn't have the Internet, and, you know, a lot of people don't understand what's happening.
Oh, sure.
And when we use the CNN or Murdoch station, and the president gets on all these stations and talks about all these things and tells them what they're going to do, and then after he gets off, he does something else, because he's really using the media as a propaganda agent.
Right. Mickey, we have Dr. Phillips back on the line. Dr. Phillips, Mickey in New York was just calling and asking, what is the hope here? What positive outcome can we produce as a consequence of these things that you are revealing?
Well, the hope is that we're going to mobilize the country and really recognize that independent media is vital to American democracy. And more importantly, as some of these issues be brought forward, media consolidation, these huge media corporations now that
maybe we
in league with the government in terms of propaganda. And the Homeland Security Act specifically tells the directorate under Title 201D to develop a comprehensive plan for securing the key resources, critical infrastructure of the United States, including information technology, telecommunication systems, and satellites. So they're not satisfied with independent press that just takes the news. They really want total control or total information control down the line. And we saw that in Iraq with the Pentagon, and they would like to see that even more complete.
And there are people fighting that. There are people challenging that.
Across the country, yes.
Yeah.
Common Cause, it has a big petition. Now you can go online with Common Cause and sign their petition against further media consolidation. MoveOn.org. At their website, there's additional information. You can comment there as well.
Great. And is there a website for your project and for your book?
Yeah, Project Censored is www.projectcensored, all one word, .org, projectcensored.org.
Okay. Great. Okay, thank you, Dr. Phillips. Thank you very much for coming back and sharing that with us. And thank you to Mickey in New York for calling. I appreciate both of your being on the program. Dr. Phillips, thank you very much for sharing your time with us here today. Moving along on this, what are these proposed changes in media ownership? By the way, our chat room is open. If you go to tomhartmann.com on the Internet, and you'll see a link there that says link to the radio show. You click that. It'll take you to the radio show page. You can also type in liberaltalkradio.com, and that'll get you to the radio show. And then there's a link there that says chat room. And if you click on that, it'll take you into our chat room in the International Trade Forum on CompuServe. We've got several people in there, active conversation going on. And so, you know, you're welcome to drop by. And during the breaks, I read the what's going on in there. Adopted between 1941 and 1975, the Federal Communications Commission put together rules to encourage competition. Now, this is one of those things that seems counterintuitive to people who have been on the receiving end of years and years of corporatist propaganda, what some people call right-wing propaganda. I think it's more appropriately called corporatist. And that is the idea that government regulation and competition can go hand in hand. This is the confusing conundrum. You know, there are those who say, well, we just need to get the government out of things and then competition can happen. But one of the things that was identified by Adam Smith back in 1776 when he published Wealth of Nations was that when companies reach a certain size so that their activities are remote in both distance and consequence from their owners. In other words, when people are not living in the communities affected by their company's behaviors, then those companies very often will begin to behave in ways that maximize profit and harm communities and harm free enterprise, harm competition. And so Adam Smith suggested that the role of government was to ensure competition and prevent monopoly. This is something that has been understood in the United States right up until about the last 20 years. We have a whole generation of young people coming up now who don't understand this because it has been stripped from our educational programs, from our civics classes, certainly from the realm of talk radio and from our newspapers. But people knew what monopoly meant in the 1880s. In 1881, when the Sherman Antitrust Act was passed on December 1st, 1881, saying that monopolies shall not evolve, shall not happen, that these are illegal. And the subsequent laws that have amended that, in some cases improved it, in most cases watered it down over the years since then. And Dwight Eisenhower in his farewell address warning us about the potential of the monopoly of the military-industrial merger, the military-industrial complex. So it has been very clear to people concerned with democracy in a republic from 1776, when Adam Smith published Wealth of Nations, and the founders all read it and explicitly refused to write the word corporation into the Constitution because they were writing the Constitution for we the people, individual voters. And every state in the Union had laws on the books that barred corporations from engaging in monopolistic behavior. That wasn't enough for Thomas Jefferson. He argued strongly that there should be a constitutional amendment banning monopolies in commerce. Banning monopolies in commerce. And he and Madison corresponded about this in the 1780s as the Constitution was being worked out, 1787, 1788. And essentially, he lost that because the states all had laws like this on their books. And everybody figured, well, you know, what the heck? One of the folks in our chat room pops up a little window and says, interestingly enough, it was Republican Roosevelt who was the first trust buster. Good point. Excellent point. And in my book, Unequal Protection, there's a great speech by Teddy Roosevelt. I took a good chunk of it and dropped it into the book because it was just so articulate, where he talked about how America has always been built by the small business people, by the entrepreneurs, by the small and medium-sized businesses that are grounded in their communities, that are rooted in their communities, that participate in their communities, and that the danger to communities and to business itself, to free enterprise itself, is the extremely large corporation. When these corporations gain enough power and wealth to even influence government, which was a felony in the United States from 1776 up until, in many communities, the 1950s, then democracy is at risk. And we have a situation now, today, where democracy is again at risk. Many would say it's already gone. That what we have now is a shadow of democracy. That we have slipped into a corporatist state. Mussolini defined corporatist as the merging of state and business interests. And he called it fascism. The rise of corporate power. Thomas Jefferson said, our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost. The press, you know, I remember back in the 1960s, the late 1960s, and from 1968 until 1978, I worked in radio in Lansing, Michigan. And for seven of those years, I was the news reporter, a news anchor, a news director at a radio station in Lansing. And I used to go out every morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, I'd be down at the local police station. This is when I was first starting out. This is 69, 1970, thereabouts. And I was a young whippersnapper. And I'd be at the police station to read the police blotter, to get the news of what happened that day. Then I'd go across the street to the state capitol building and make my rounds talking to the legislators and the press secretary for the governor and the attorney general and those folks. And we compiled the actual news of the day and read it on the air. Now, here in the town where I live now, Montpelier, Vermont, 3 days ago, one of the major buildings in the center of town caught on fire in the middle of the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and was still burning at 9 o'clock when Louise and I came home from seeing a movie. And, everybody was down there. I mean, the town was just packed with people gawking. And this was a building that was built in 1870. It destroyed several local businesses and affected several others. And we came back home and we said, let's listen, on the radio and see if anybody's reporting on this, because we wanted to know what was going on. We'd seen it. I mean, you could see this cloud of smoke from a mile away most of the day. None. Not one. None of our local radio stations were reporting that story, because none of our local radio stations have local news reporters. This is so much the case. This would have been unheard of back in the 60s and 70s when I first started in the radio business. It would have been absolutely unheard of. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, if you have thoughts on these. Have we gone so far that democracy itself is at risk as a consequence of the media consolidations? Senator Robert Byrd recently said, "There is a power which can serve as a check against abuses by a government or by government officials, and that power is the power of the informed citizen. An informed citizenry has to participate, ask questions, and demand answers, and demand accountability to make a country like ours work." Senator Robert Byrd, well, how does a citizenry participate, ask questions, and demand answers if there isn't a vital, active, and vibrant local press and free press? And this is what has gone so far away and is fixing, they're fixing to take it even further, to take it way off. So now we have the FCC preparing to make these rule changes. And the Center for Public Integrity said, well, and this was just a couple of weeks ago, they said, let's look at the FCC's reporting of the goodies that they get from the industry that they regulate. And they discovered, I mean, this was a jaw dropper. They looked into this thing and they found that industry groups the FCC is supposed to be regulating have paid for more than 2,500 junkets taken by key FCC officials. And I quote, "FCC commissioners and top staffers have been flown to hundreds of conferences, conventions, and broadcast industry events in Las Vegas, 330 trips, New Orleans, 173 trips, New York, 102 trips, London, 98 trips, as well as San Francisco, Miami, Anchorage, Palm Springs, Buenos Aires, Rio de Janeiro, Hong Kong, Beijing, and Paris. Often, according to the study, the FCC aides merely attend events as observers, but they do so in style, spending the night in elite accommodations such as the Bellagio Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, and at the resorts of Amelia Island, Florida, and Hilton Head, South Carolina. Over the last 8 years, FCC commissioners and staffers have taken almost $2.8 million in trips that were paid for by the interests they are supposed to police." This is from an article in The Nation by John Nichols, the online beat from May 22nd, thenation.com, where you can find it. And they note Schwartzman, who is he? One of these Media Access Project President Andy Schwartzman says, "It's impossible for the public to get the same kind of access with those officials." They then wanted to find out how the FCC was getting its information on which it's making these decisions. you would think, because the FCC is responsible for regulating who can own what stations in what markets, that they would have information on what stations in what markets have what market share and things like that. So, but when they asked the FCC for that information, they were referred to private corporations. And in one case, the FCC relented only after issuing a quasi-judicial protective order meant to keep the information secret because it was a database owned by a private company. And as a person under American law, since 1886, that bizarre Santa Clara County case, corporations have human rights. One of the most weird distortions of law in the history of this nation and one of the most destructive things to democracy. We'll wrap this up when we come back. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few minutes, where a democracy is still alive and well.
Hello, James Carver here again to tell you about InPhone, a new enhanced directory service you get by dialing 888-411-1111. First blush, a lot of people say, Jimmy, that's way too many numbers to dial. Well, that dog won't hunt. No, it won't. Plug this number into your speed dial, and fella, you got one-button access to the most powerful information service ever. That's InPhone, 888-411-1111. InPhone, how can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Look, if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern, on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking about media consolidation and what do the words free press or free press really mean in and to a democracy. REM's Mike Mills and Pearl Jam's Stone Gossard just recently spoke out against the consolidation, and Mills said, "Merely by speaking out here, I could well be threatening our ability to be played on 1,200 radio stations." That's a pretty scary one. Imagine just, you know, I wrote an op-ed piece the other day that was on commondreams.org, and I talked about Clear Channel, and, you know, the odds of Clear Channel ever hiring me are zero now as a result of that, I'm sure. They're probably zero before, but and I'm not looking for a job with them, but just it, for somebody who has to rely on them, and that's who he's talking about, to promote concerts and things, this is very disconcerting. Joe in Brookings, Oregon, the missing $1 trillion. You have a comment for the Tom Hartman Program. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, speaking of media consolidation, you know, the of course, there was a story that came out sometime last week about the Pentagon, you know, looked around one day and they said, "Hey, we're missing $1 trillion.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We don't know where it is. And, of course, it wasn't even the second or even the third biggest story in the media that day. It might have been in the top five. It was just in the media for one day. I think right. This is a really big story. I don't hear anybody on Capitol Hill making a big deal about it. I don't hear any of the presidential candidates making a big deal about the missing $1 trillion from the Pentagon. And in the meantime, the Republicans want to get rid of Social Security because there's not enough money to fund it."
Yeah, it's amazing, Joe. Imagine what would happen in America if the president went on TV and said, "Tonight we're going to institute a lottery, and you are participating in the lottery by virtue of having a paycheck. And one out of every 100 people who participates will win. And what you will win is $1 million. In other words, 1 million out of the 100 million workers in America are each going to get $1 million. We're going to have a lottery. 1 million people are going to win, and each one of those million winners are going to get $1 million. Can you imagine how America would be electrified, shocked, amazed? That's $1 trillion. That's the amount of money that the Pentagon has lost, that Joe is pointing out there. It's amazing. Well, stick around. We'll be back in a few minutes. This is the Tom Hartman Program.
It ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Secretary of State Colin Powell today is playing down widespread speculation about a possible change in U.S. policy toward Iran. Outside the State Department earlier today, Powell told reporters U.S. policies toward Iran, quote, have not changed.
We do not approve of their support of terrorist activities. We have made it clear over the years that we disapprove of their efforts to develop a nuclear capability.
Concerns have reportedly been growing within the Bush administration about Iran's pursuit of nuclear weapons, as well as its suspected harboring of terrorists. And despite a lack of any real formal diplomatic ties with Iran, Secretary of State Colin Powell said the U.S. will maintain the informal contacts it has with various factions within Iran itself. Meanwhile, in the Middle East, hopes remain high for a meeting of top U.S., Israeli, and Palestinian leaders, as we hear now from correspondent Priscilla Huff.
In another indication that Israel is willing to cooperate on the roadmap to bring peace to the Middle East, Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon is saying keeping 3.5 million people under occupation is bad for the Palestinians and bad for the Israelis. But Mr. Sharon promises if the Palestinian terror continues, they will get nothing. The prospects for peace may come down to who is willing to take the first step. For now, the Bush administration is trying to seize the opportunity they think is there, eyeing a summit with Mr. Bush, Mr. Sharon, and Mr. Abbas in Jordan or Egypt after the Group of Eight meetings. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Latest fighting in Iraq this weekend and into today has left two Americans dead and more than a half dozen wounded. Officials say U.S. soldiers were attacked in Fallujah earlier with rocket-propelled grenades and small arms. Initial reports indicate those attackers were firing from a nearby mosque. U.S. Central Command also says coalition forces have now captured numbers 46 and 55 on their list of most wanted former Iraqi leaders. Those captured are former top officials of Iraq's ruling Ba'ath Party. Central Command says the two were detained by troops on Saturday.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
President Bush will sign his Global AIDS Initiative in a White House ceremony later today. That legislation, approved last week overwhelmingly by Congress, earmarks about $15 billion to fight the spread of both HIV and AIDS around the world. In his upcoming trip to Europe next week, the president also plans to lobby American allies to make similar efforts. Most of the U.S. money will go to African nations as well as to countries in the Caribbean. Congressional conservatives were also able to successfully insert abstinence education language into the legislation.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
The nation's high court has now dismissed a challenge to the federal government's policy of holding secret immigration hearings for people detained following the September 11th attacks. The Supreme Court today refused to review a U.S. appeals court ruling. News media and public access to the deportation proceedings could endanger national security. The action from the court was based on an appeal by New Jersey newspapers arguing the government cannot keep those proceedings secret without specific case-by-case evidence showing closing the hearing would be necessary. Civil liberties groups have also widely criticized the Bush administration. Administration's tactics surrounding those secret hearings. A search is underway today in Metro Atlanta for a possible serial killer. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation says Derek Todd Lee may have been spotted in Atlanta Sunday. Lee, who's from the Baton Rouge area in Louisiana, is charged with the murder and rape of 26-year-old Louisiana State University student Kerry Yoder back in March. DNA evidence reportedly has also tied Lee to four other murders in Louisiana. I'm Corey Morris, and you're listening to IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Liga with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're all dressed up with places to go. You scoot behind the wheel, turn the key, but no go. Now you're just all dressed up. What's to blame? Battery or starter? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
When cars won't start, it's always frustrating. What's the culprit, battery or starter? Here's how to tell. If it's night, turn on your headlights. If they don't come on, of course it's the battery. But if they do, leave them on and try to crank your car. If they dim or go out, batteries to blame. During daylight, try the same test with your horn. If your lights and horn operate normally when you try to crank your car, guess what? It's the starter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old days, the values of democracy on which this country rooted. Here's
and welcome to the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting from sea to shining sea on terrestrial radio stations, on the internet, and on channel 145 on the Sirius satellite, Sirius Left. Welcome to our program. Sawdust in Florida posted a message on our bulletin board, on the message board at tomhartman.com. There's both a message board and a chat room. The chat room is open right now and has several folks in it, and they're carrying on a lively conversation. You might want to drop in there and say hi if you're online right at the moment. If you go to tomhartman.com and click on the radio show link, that will take you to the radio show homepage, and then there's a link there to the chat room. But you can also go to the message board where people post things that are a little more permanent. There's about 20,000 messages right now on the message board. And Sawdust from Florida, this is in the radio show section. He says, Tom, I caught a bit of your show on the internet for the first time today. Your radio voice and presentation, I heard the conservative part and then had to run an errand. I believe that by quoting the, I don't know many modern day conservatives that are as statue you painted. Most of them believe that smaller government is good, that smaller government will mean an end to government waste and lead to responsible financial policy. Their belief in smaller government defines their conservatism. I don't know many Christian right-wingers. We don't have much in common and don't play together. I was unable to catch the balance of the show. What I did catch indicated to me that you have a radio career that will equal or better Jim Hightower. Good job. Well, thank you, Sawdust. Although, Jim is good. Jim Hightower is really good. Anyhow, your comment about a little noticed addendum to this $15 billion anti-HIV AIDS package that the president is... What are your thoughts on the possibilities of Democrats having success in 2004, whether you consider yourself a Democrat, a Republican, a Libertarian, an Independent? I have a better sense of consequences when it comes to national security. Now, Joe Lieberman is jumping on the national security bandwagon. He says that although he received student deferments during Vietnam and later received a deferment as a married man with a child, he said the more relevant factor is what your experience has been as a public official in national security matters and what decisions you have made. And he goes on to point out that he supported the Gulf War of 91, he supported the war against Saddam recently, and he says it says a lot whether you are willing to use American muscle to secure our values and protect our security. So Joe Lieberman, doing an Arnold Schwarzenegger imitation there, flexing his muscles for the Democratic voters. Carl in Florida. Can the Democrats win, Carl? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not sure if he can. If they can or not, for two reasons. One, we don't have the people, except for you, you know, and through Sirius Left, we don't have the exposure on, you know, on television. You know, we don't have any, you know, true liberals that can, you know, send out the message and define the Democrats like the Rush Limbaughs and the O'Reillys can. We don't have that access. I don't see if the media. I don't think the media is ever going to give us the access without some kind of law. And then the other,
you know,
part
it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see, Carl, because in this last piece I wrote for Common Dreams, I was speculating that there is a huge market. I mean, more people voted for Al Gore than voted for George Bush. 500,000 more people voted for Al Gore than voted for George Bush in the last election. And those people don't have anywhere on the AM dial in most markets. I mean, certainly they do in the communities where this station, this network, or this show is carried. But in most cases, those people who voted for Al Gore don't have anywhere to listen on the AM dial for commentary or discussion about these things, as you point out. But I see that as a tremendous profit opportunity for those people in the radio business, and I think that they're going to start picking it up, particularly after June 3,
sure,
the FCC is over.
Profits, when you have a liberal like you or some of the major advertisers, and the local, they may feel threatened. You know, for example, we're talking about the
I wasn't going to want to advertise.
Yeah, you know, and then a lot of these companies, like with the tobacco, start feeling threatened. They may sue, you know, start threatening lawsuits, you know, to intimidate, you know, the major, like happened with 60 Minutes and
right.
Tobacco. And then, finally, they're afraid of, it's another thing to preach, I think they might feel more threatened in terms of their advertisers might feel more threatened,
There's probably some truth to that, Carl, but I also think the advertisers, and there are a lot of companies, keep in mind, there's only a few hundred really large companies that are aggressively and actively, say, passing out huge quantities of money in the halls of Congress and aggressively advertising to promote their positions and change political debate. I think that there's a lot of companies out there that are interested in advertising and supporting this kind of radio. We just have to find them.
I hope that's true. And I think there's a market there.
There are corporate donors to the Democrats, too, Carl.
Hello?
Yep. Yeah.
Like I said, I hope that's your article, too, on Common Dreams. Those are good articles.
Calling. Phil is in Florida. And, Phil, we're going to take your quiz break. Stick around. This is the TED program on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
So the sun is a-shining, the birds are a-chirping, and the garden is a-calling. One small problem, you're back.
Ow!
It's a-hurting. Can't bend down to dig.
Ooh!
Can't stand up to water.
Ouch!
Just can't bear the pain. Better grab a Thermacare. 8 hours of penetrating heat for powerful pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Dig, plant, water, water, and water, all you want. No problem.
Hang on, and we'll show you how to find out online. See your credit report instantly. Make sure freecreditreport.com.
Are you old muddled through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, it's for Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. Peter, in the United States collectible coin, very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
It's always reassuring to learn that top White House officials are operating today in the time-honored tradition of so many Washington public servants. They are resigning to become high-paid corporate lobbyists, cashing in on their government connections. Take our brand-new Homeland Security Department. Please, take it far away and bury the whole bureaucratic, autocratic monstrosity in a landfill where it will eternal gas but otherwise won't bother us. $6 each year. The Homeland Czar is working out of the White House. Ridge had four top deputies to help him create the Homeland Security Department. Did his inner circle move with him into the new agency? No, no, Pollyanna. All four are now lobbyists, helping cook the billions of dollars that HSD is now doling out in fat government contracts. When asked by a reporter about the obvious conflict of interest involved here, one of Ridge's former aides said, "This conversation is over," and hung up. Another was more forthcoming, noting that not only did she have great access to Ridge and other top HSD decision-makers, but also that, quote, "all of us are very close friends with the governor and see him on many different occasions, not just professionally." Gosh, what a... Homeland Security is a bloated bureaucracy more secure, but it will secure billions in federal boondoggles for connected corporations. It's been dubbed a huge honeypot for lobbyists. And one enthusiastic lobbyist representing such fat cat military contractors as Lockheed Martin and Raytheon bragged, "We're trying to help our clients avoid the landmines and find the gold mines in Homeland Security. I'm very bullish on this." This is Jim Hightower saying, there you have it, your security dollars at work. Feel safer?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to 800-825-5933. Democrats win in 2004, or is Phil in Florida? You have a comment. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
I'm great, but I'll get better. How about you?
Okay. I want to bring up two issues. First of all, I don't know if you were listening to PBS this morning. I do it when I get dressed. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the report on the privatization of public schools in Philadelphia is in. And the Edison company has failed miserably.
Yeah.
Test scores are lower under the Edison's company tutelage than they were before.
Right.
In the middle school, 70% of the kids failed at least two classes.
Yeah, so this brave new corporate world isn't...
You will never hear this report on Fox News.
Yes.
September of 2004. By five men in the Texas National Guard, that George Bush was AWOL. I would like to see get them in a conference with TV cameras and everyone else and say George Bush was AWOL. We were in his unit. The guy didn't show up. Days, the military considers someone who is AWOL to be a deserter. I want the people to know before they reelect this man that we stayed in. He deserted. Are there any questions? And I got news for you. This would make the Paula Jones news conference and the whatever her name was, Flowers. I can't remember her first name.
Jennifer Flowers. Yeah.
Yeah. Seem like peanuts.
I agree.
It would destroy George W. Bush. It would destroy him. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, we wouldn't want to do something like that. I tell you, pal, this guy, you got to fight fire with fire.
But, Phil, what would you say to those people? Because this, you know, these charges have been floating around for a long, long time. In fact, they were raised in the 2000 election, and the Republican response was, well, that was when he was young, he was alcoholic, he was, you know, wild. He experienced a midlife conversion when he turned 40, and he's become a Christian, and he's become a good guy, and he's trustworthy now, and we need to leave the past in the past.
Yeah, well, I got news for you. They're still talking about the fact that Bill Clinton didn't serve.
Yeah.
And they talked about it ad nauseum.
Yeah, and that he didn't inhale.
Right. And here, and you know, the other kicker is that they're talking about tort reform. But how is it then that when Paula Jones felt that she was entitled to $1 million because Bill Clinton made a pass at her that she didn't like, and because of that she was entitled to $1 million, they weren't screaming for tort reform at that time.
No, they were promoting that lawsuit. They were aggressively
promoting $1 million for making a pass at a woman that she didn't want.
Right.
Can you imagine if every man in this country had to pay $1 million to every woman he made a pass at?
A lot of people would be very shocked, and if the Democrats have the courage, it'd be interesting to see, because the Republicans just were merciless slashers with much smaller issues than this in the last election and throughout Clinton's presidency. Thanks for calling, Phil. I appreciate your call. Stay back after this break, and we have Rand in Santa Fe on the line. We'll come back to you, Rand, in just a minute. The IE America Radio Network.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Several types of ash trees in North America. Cudio. Ash trees are common throughout shade trees. In eastern woodlands, they stand out. A small green beetle called the emerald ashen. The beetle was discovered just last year in southeastern Michigan. Since then, it's killed or damaged millions of trees in parts of Michigan and across the border in Windsor, Ontario. Sarah Linsmeyer-Werfel works for the Michigan Department of Agriculture. She says the emerald ash borer is a small, thin insect with a metallic green back. It's native to Asia, and it probably traveled to North America in wooden packing crates made out of ash. Linsmeyer-Werfel says the people who worked with the crates might have missed it because in its larval stage, it's extremely small and blends in with the wood. Linsmeyer-Werfel says the beetle is known to attack green, white, and black ash trees. The beetle bores into healthy trees to lay its eggs, and within a few years, the trees are dead. She says trees often don't show signs of infestation until they're well on their way to decline.
The infestation of emerald ash borer is basically, it's very difficult to detect until the canopy of the tree where the top is starts to thin and die back.
The top third of a tree usually dies back within the first year. The remainder dies the following year. Linsmeyer-Werfel says state and federal agencies in the U.S. are working hard to contain the spread of the emerald ash borer. A quarantine now prohibits taking firewood or ashwood products out of counties that are infested by the beetles. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Network. We take calls from people all over the United States. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
New time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and broadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Hartman Program.
Shake it up. Shake it up.
To shake up the political landscape. Can the Democrats win in 2004? The question for the hour here on the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. In our chat room, if you go to tomhartman.com and then click on the radio show link and then click on the chat room link, it will take you to the chat room in the International Trade Forum on CompuServe, which we're using. It's a forum that myself and Nigel Peacock, a friend of mine, run and have for decades now. And in that chat room, we've got Putnik 1915 dropped me a private note. He says, Tom, though Clinton didn't serve, he was at least honest to his principles. The shrub was a supporter of the war, yet chose not to serve. Well, actually, he chose to have his father pull strings for him to get into the National Guard so he didn't have to do combat, and then he went AWOL for 18 months. The Republicans claim he did serve. Rand in Santa Fe, you've been patiently waiting on the phone through the break. Thanks for calling the show here. Welcome.
Welcome to you for on our local station here. You're just being aired on KTRC in Santa Fe for the first time, and you're great, man.
Well, thank you.
I gotta say that I don't think there's any chance that we're going to win in 2004 because we have less than a year and a half to establish an extremely powerful media presence, and we haven't done it. And that depends on first money, and second. Mm-hmm. Some Democrats who are willing to actually put their arses on the line and stand up for something. And although there are little movements in that direction, until we can have both elements, some real courage and leadership on the part of some Democratic candidates who are also adept at manipulating the media and very, very charismatic on camera, I don't think there's anywhere we're going to win because the people still vote according to what they see on TV, is as far as I can tell, and I wish I weren't so pessimistic, this last has so appalled me far down. So tell me something to change my...
Well, you know, I think that you've identified a very recent election debate cycle. I remember I was the debates, and George W. said to Al Gore, you know, you have outphrased and outspent me in this campaign, but I'm still going to quack, quack, quack. I don't remember how he wrapped it up, but I remember being absolutely shocked into Al Gore's face as Bush said that, and because, well, the actual numbers, the RNC raised $200 million for the Bush campaign, while the DNC raised $124 million in hard money, won in 2000, and yet still lost by 500,000 votes. And had he not sued in the Supreme Court in the famous Bush versus Gore Supreme Court case, in which the Supreme Court ruled that Americans do not have a right to vote for president, that only the electors have a right to vote. It's interesting to read that case. It's shocking to read that case, actually. The point is that even though Bush outspent, a lot of people saw through it, voted for Gore than voted for Bush. I believe wiser than we're giving them credit for, and that certainly wiser than the Republicans are giving them credit for, and they see through a lot of this stuff. A huge if the progressives and the Greens will participate with and back the Democrats in this upcoming election, that will be a tremendous plus, because basically the Republicans have only succeeded by bringing in their right wing. The Democrats have to succeed by bringing in their left wing, in my opinion. And whether that'll happen or not, we'll see. There was a meeting of the Greens last week to decide whether or not they're going to field a presidential candidate, and they're actually having a huge debate about this. We'll see how that comes down. Our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, and TJ in Texas has a comment. Welcome to the program, TJ.
Hello, Tom. Am I on?
You are. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
First, I wanted to say I love your show and I have ears.
Well, thank you.
And I've been involved in to look critically at my involvement with the party. It was sort of something that I inherited from my parents. My grandparents were Democrats, so it was a family thing of the Democratic Party and how the same corporations as the Republicans, how considering leaving the Democratic Party and joining the Bush administration House, and there was so much Democratic.
Yes.
And the made me decide to stay in the Democratic Party and to reinvigorate the left wing of the Democratic Party were the comments and the efforts of Robert Byrd.
Yes, he's extraordinary,
really,
isn't he?
My reason for staying in the Democratic Party.
Yeah. In fact, our quote for the day is from U.S. power which can serve as a check against abuses by a government or by government officials, and that power is the power of the informed citizen. Well said, TJ. TJ, I really appreciate your comment. And in fact, I I'm wondering what you think of as the best hope for the future of the Democratic Party.
It needs to reach out to its youth.
Yes.
Definitely. It needs on its youth resources. It really needs to go back into the junior high schools. It needs to get back to the basics.
Right. Thank you very much for calling us from Texas. And the Vince, you know, I was 14 or no, I was 13 when Barry Goldwater ran for president in 1964. My father was involved in the local, and I went door-to-door passing out literature, and I was into the young Republicans. And over the year, I remember when the Republicans were a minority party then as a teenager. Good point, TJ. Our number is 1-800-TALK, yes. That's 1-800-825-5937. Greg, come on in. Make yourself at home in New Mexico. Left. Okay. Greg was on hold. Greg, if you'd like to call in, 1-800-825-5937. Back to the issue of what cards will be played by the Democrats. We were looking at Joe Lieberman saying that he was going to be the I was in favor of all these wars guy, and Kerry saying that he was the former veteran. He's the only one, I think, of the bunch who has solid credentials as a veteran. And there seems to be some evidence, this Washington Post poll, that 31% of Democrats, 29% of Americans, say a candidate's experience as a veteran is extremely important to them when they're considering voting. And certainly one of the comments that I think it was Phil in Florida made about the importance of George W.'s National Guard record is perhaps something that will be germane. It'll be really interesting. Representative Richard Gephardt, who served in the Missouri Air National Guard, also is highlighting the fact that he was in favor of the war in Iraq. And former Vermont Governor Howard Dean, I think Howard Dean may have one of the real challenges in this area. He had a deferment, as did Dennis Kucinich, during the Vietnam War. Kucinich had a heart murmur. Howard Dean had an unfused vertebrae. He's got a spine problem. Although after he graduated from Yale Medical School, he spent part of that next year skiing in Aspen, Colorado. That may come back to haunt him. It'll be interesting to see. I know that the right-wingers are already talking about this on the radio, doing the old character assassination dance. So Kucinich said he was very disappointed for this. Tim in Hartford, Connecticut, welcome to our program on the IE America Radio Network.
Well, hello, Tom. Well,
hey,
as a Green, I'm just absolutely amazed by this conversation about the Democrats trying to bring us back into the party. We've left, and we're going as quickly as possible. We've been kicked out, and we formed our own party. And
right.
I'm looking at some of these candidates, you know, even someone like Dean is really very, perhaps just unacceptable to Greens. First off, he's for the death penalty, which the Greens are very much opposed to. He's got an A-plus rating from the National Rifle Association. You know, it just kind of goes on and on as far as some of these. Is the more and more you know about some of these candidates, that the idea that the Greens are going to suddenly drop to our knees and throw out all of our values. And I think this weekend, with all this talk about let's go out and raise a bunch of soft money again and become the party of the corporations again, you just, you know, wonder. You know, some of us, whether we're fundamentalist or not, we're just saying no to the Democratic Party.
Right. And Tim, good points. I live in Howard Dean State, and the tourism and a good chunk of that tourism is state every fall, mm-hmm. and people in the state who hunt, and no politician. Bernie Sanders has a hunt without getting, you know, good ratings from the...
He's more disturbed by his support for the death penalty and with evidence out there of people who... And put on the on this situation is so so lacking for the average person out there. Plus, I
right,
think really health care is going to be a major issue. I'm proud of the fact that really only Kucinich and Nader are the only ones who've been talking about single payer. Everybody else has been talking about throwing large amounts of money back into the insurance
to the health insurance companies. Yeah,
yeah.
Tim, the Greens now Straw. Let's see, what's his Straw? The co-chair of the Green Party's President Exploratory Committee said that some Greens are actually thinking that there's this debate within the Green Party about not running any candidate. They said, quote, there are Greens at all levels who are so infuriated with the Bush administration that they would do anything to see him turned out. Presumably anything, meaning even aligning themselves with Democrats. The now that we don't have instant runoff voting in the United States and we don't have proportional representation, briefly, how can the Greens their goals if what they're doing is preventing is essentially preventing the Democrats from being
well,
Republicans?
Well, the first mistake you make is the fact that those votes would automatically go to the Democrats. You know, the Greens won those because of a dynamic candidate and person out there. I don't think that the Democrats can win right now, no matter who the candidate is. I think Bush is going to be the leader. And because of the fact that, you know, the Democrats won't do anything to help the Greens maintain ballot status, getting 10%, for example, in the next election will really kick off a, you know, very strong a third party that will, you know, we've already won like 170-some elections across the country. The president
yeah, ballot status on for the president
on
requires the Greens. Ballot status, maintaining ballot status for the Greens requires them to run a candidate for president.
Oftentimes,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, Tim, good point. I've got two more calls here on the line,
thanks.
So I'll wrap this. Thank you, California. You've called 1-800-TALK. Yes, you've got a...
Democrats, you know, everybody's rushing to get as many votes as they can because only 25.
Mm-hmm.
And you split that in a with what kind of mandate, 12-13%? Of the general public, of where they represent. I mean, that's a travesty that we should have a constitutional amendment saying, and most countries do have that, where it's got to have at least 51% of the vote.
Yeah.
And get in Washington, we don't have that. We're years.
Well, the other thing,
Nick,
that
the
most...
extreme right, they have the labor unions on the left and then the Armageddon Christians out there stumping and getting candidates. And to tell you the truth, the guys in Washington want to keep the vote a four-letter word. They don't want you to vote. They want to keep you off balance as far as, like, they say this is the greatest country, and they got these elderly, you know, between a meal and a pill to
yeah.
eat, to
yeah.
take. And
it's a
travesty.
It's a tough one,
Nick. They keep people off balance so they won't read the issues or be concerned about the issues because they're just trying to survive on their own.
You know, Nick, it wasn't until 1861 that John Stuart Mill wrote a book. I forget the title of it. He also wrote On Liberty. But he wrote a book in which he outlined the concept of proportional representation, that if 30% of the people vote for a particular point of view, that point of view should have 30% of the representatives in Congress. And the United States Constitution had already been written at that point, but pretty much every other constitution of most of the countries of the world, the singular exceptions being Canada, Greece, and Australia, have adopted proportional representation. So you have a vibrant and active Green Party in Germany, for example, with 17 or 18% of the vote. They have 17 or 18% of the representatives, or whatever the number is. It's in the 20 range, more or less, with this, because their voting system went back farther than Stuart Mill, as I recall. They put into place our instant runoff voting, where candidate in your second choice, so you could make your first choice for the Green candidate and your second choice for the Democrat, for example. And if the Green candidate didn't win in the first balloting, then that vote becomes a vote for the Democrat. And until we do something, in my opinion, like these things in the United States, we're going to have this problem of a not very democratic system. Nick, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much for calling in from California. Art in Tucson, we'll get to you right after this break. Thanks for calling, and hang on the line there. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
When I fell, my Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor...
Muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
To Advil.
This message is brought to you, Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. American Atlantic Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our Performance and Possibilities. Call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free. 888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss.
Conference, a progressive policy and action summit in Washington, D.C. On June 4th, 5th, and 6th, progressive leaders and activists from across the country will gather in the nation's capital to mobilize, take back America, and proclaim a new era of progressivism. This will be the largest and most diverse gathering of prominent progressive leaders in many years, and its impact will be dramatic. This is an unprecedented effort at a critical time in our nation's history. It is essential that the progressive majority develop a strategy that will confront the real issues America is facing with initiatives that can and will make a difference. For details and to register, visit www.ourfuture.org or call 800-833-1354. That's 800-833-1354.
To see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good?
Might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE American.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday, help your pets. Always give away some prizes from It Is Enough. Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
To see why people would call you up, you really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
From the different points of view, from the now a different point of view on the news, i.e. America Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on the lives. WINS is not about what big business. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEM.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
As soon as you're born, feel small. By giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something.
Radical middle. Art in Tucson, Maya, I appreciate your hanging on over the break. How can the Democrats, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, Tom, first of all, thank you for your show. I love what you guys are doing, and I think you're a real vision of hope for all of us.
Thank you.
I guess I wanted to say that I stand up for everything the Green Party is for. I'm as liberal as you can get. My concern is that throwing a Green candidate into the mix, I just fear that we're going to split the vote again and end up with four more years of this administration, and we've seen what they've done in a year or 2.5 years. Four more years of this, I think, is going to be a disaster for all of us.
Yeah, there might not be democracy left in the United States. My question is, why can't somebody be a Green and a Democrat?
That's a really good question. I feel that way. I feel that I'm definitely green and a Democrat. I loved what you said, and I don't know much more about this, about what they do in Australia. That seems like a fantastic possibility. I don't know if Americans would ever go for it, but
Americans are going for it. Americans are going for it. There are hundreds of communities across the United States that have already adopted instant runoff voting. There is one state that has it at the state level. I don't remember if it's Arizona or Alaska or... I don't remember which state it was. But the way it works is that you have a first choice and a second choice, and in some cases a third choice. And if that first choice doesn't win a majority of the votes, more than 50% of the vote, then all of the first choice votes for the person who wasn't a hat revert to the second choice votes. And it's a very simple, straightforward system. The Progressive Party here in Vermont, which is the Greens in Vermont, are somewhat marginal, but the progressives here in Vermont took, for example, in the lieutenant governor's race last year, took 25% of the vote. They're aggressively promoting IRV here in Vermont. We're hoping we'll be one of the first states to do it statewide. Appreciate your calling in. We'll be back tomorrow on the program, same time, same place. Thank you for Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. See you tomorrow.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.